Please sit down. If you'd like to find your Bibles again and turn to page 1078, that's John 11. And let me pray. Father God, we thank you for the I am statements. We thank you for how Jesus spoke about himself. Father, help us to hear this incredibly well-known one. I am the resurrection and the life. And to be changed by that. Now and forever. We ask in your holy name. Amen. When was the last time you asked, if only? If only they'd worked a bit harder, they might have done slightly better in their exams. If only a different president or prime minister had been elected last time, whatever. If only we hadn't gone on holiday there. If only, if only, if only. And whatever it is, you know that you want to turn the clock back and do what the Americans call a bit of a do-over. And that's why films who do that are quite popular, because we quite like the concept of being able to relive our life and think, well, I wouldn't do that, I wouldn't do that. Years ago, I was 21 and I had a job and I moved somewhere. And I didn't move somewhere, actually. My company moved, and they offered me an interest-free mortgage to buy a house. At the age of 21, I thought, what a ridiculous thing. What do I want to own a house for? If only, because the houses were worth a lot of money by the time I'd have come to sell it. But never mind, one of those things. I preferred playing rugby than I did buying a house. So anyway, it's like the way it is. And that's why films like Back to the Future are so popular. Why? Because it's a story where you move along a timeline in history, change something from a previous generation, and actually it can be different. And of course, it's all just a pipe dream. It's just Hollywood, really, to go back and to change something. There's a kind of nostalgia that we want to change something that we know didn't work very well. And that's a bit of what we see in this passage. If you look at the passage, this is the statement that's coming out. If only, if only, if only. Look at what it says, verse 21. Lord, Martha said to Jesus, if only you'd been here, my brother would not have died. And if you look at the context of it, verse 20, what's happened is here that actually Jesus arrives from Bethany. She hasn't seen him for a while. She doesn't say, good morning, Jesus, how are you? How was the trip? The first statement is, if only you had been here, he wouldn't have died. If only, if only, if only. If you'd have got here, it would all have been different. And in this passage, Jesus and Martha have a conversation that indicates that actually Back to the Future is not entirely a movie maker's fantasy. In fact, it is rather possible for God to bring the future back into the present. Sounds a bit confusing, but let's look at the passage and we'll see. Because if you look at actually Martha's response, her response is for something that possibly can't be. She says to him, Lord, verse 21, if you'd have been here, my brother would not have died. But I know that even if you are God, that even now, God will give you whatever you ask. She's actually saying, I want this and I know it's possible. But actually, the power is with you. And then you look at Jesus' response when Jesus then says to her, verse 23, your brother will rise again. And Martha answered, I know he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day. It's a bit like saying, it'll be okay. Just keep watching. The film will work out in the end. Just wait. It'll be fine. Which, when you're watching a film, is okay. But actually, when it's about the fact that somebody has died, then actually it's very difficult for us. Because it's quite an emotional thing. Look at verse 23, your brother will rise again. Look at what Martha's response is. Martha's response is, I know he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day. This is very much an intellectual response. I know he will rise again. So she is giving an intellectual response, but it doesn't bring any comfort. Because actually, she knows it intellectually, but it's not really helping her in her grief. Because she wants it. She never wanted it to happen. She wanted it to be an if only, if only. And she's expressing what many Jews held at that time, that there will be a physical resurrection at the end of time. And so she's just stating what she knows is to be the truth from what she believes. But there's no real sort of feeling of passion in there, or saying that this is going to, you know, that I this is the hope I'm clinging on to. Because she's already said, if you had come, this wouldn't have happened. So this future thing is great, because I know it's going to happen intellectually, but it still hurts. And then what happens is, Jesus makes a statement to Martha that changes everything, that brings the future into the present. He says to her very clearly, he says, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me will live even though they die. And whoever lives by believing in me will never die. Do you believe this? To paraphrase this, what he's saying is, you don't have to wait for the end. I am right now the resurrection and the life. I am here. You don't have to wait. The future has come to the present. That I am the promise of resurrection. Resurrection is more than a hope. It's a future promise. But it's also a reality of a person. Because the resurrection is a person. Martha here was talking about the concept of the theology of you will rise again. And what Jesus is saying here is, that's true, but I am the resurrection and the life. This is not some theological concept that we're working with here. What we're working with is a person who says that when I am the reason that people will rise from the dead. I am the resurrection and the life. We come face to face with the I am claims of Jesus. As a children's song, we sometimes sing, Lord, I lift your name on high. And it says in that verse, it says, he came from heaven to earth to show the way, which is true. But it's far more than that. He came from God's future into the present, into the mess and the muddle of the world, to change it. The future arrives now in the person of Jesus. He is the resurrection and the life. What that means is that when we say we believe in him, as Jesus says here in verse 25 and 26, we have eternal life. We will live. Anyone who believes in me will live. I am the resurrection and the life. It doesn't mean you have to wait till you die. It means that you start your eternal life at the point at which you say, Jesus, you are my Lord and my Savior. Probably a bit like Martha, we say, yes, Lord, we know that's true, because that's good theology. But actually, what Jesus is saying here, it is life-changing. We don't have to wait till we die. We can have freedom and life now. A writer on the passage said this, resurrection life, which triumphs over death, is not confined to the distant future, but is present here and now in Jesus, who is the resurrection. The embodiment of the promised life and the salvation of God. To believe in Jesus means death lies defeated. And that's what he is offering here. This is what he's talking to Martha about. At this point, he isn't necessarily talking about Lazarus. He is talking about the world. He's talking about me. He's talking about you. He's talking about anybody who believes in him. Because he goes back to this passage and says, he who believes in me will live even though they die. So what does it mean to live even though we're actually going to die? Jesus offers here the end to spiritual death. We might have actually lost all hope and joy in life. Some people do. They get to a point where they've lost the joy of living. It could be that actually we're in a place where it's difficult. But actually, Jesus is here right now and can give us life, and life in all its fullness. Because we become alive in Christ. And all the really tough stuff we give to him. Because he died for each one of us. There are dramatic stories of lives transformed, aren't there? We've probably all read some. When I was a young Christian, the popular one was Nicky Cruz's Run Baby Run. A story of a gang member who was a violent gang member in the 1950s and 60s who became an evangelist and a preacher. But we don't all have to be people with difficult life stories to actually take this offer Jesus gives for us. The world around us might be difficult. Our bodies might be falling apart, some of us quicker than others. Maybe our marriages are difficult, maybe our career, maybe the whole world looks hard, but Jesus is offering life now. That we can have hope for something now. The final words of Edward the Confessor was this: "Weep not, I shall not die. I shall leave the land of the dying. I trust to see the blessing of the Lord in the land of the living." We often, this earth is sometimes called the land of the living. But actually, Edward Confessor is probably more accurate. That we live in the land of the dying. And actually, we are heading towards something that instead of being a sunset, because that's how we tend to see it, you know, the sun sets on this world. But actually what we're looking to is go to a sunrise. And why? Because the sun rose. And that is what we're being offered. Jesus is the resurrection. Jesus is the life. If we carry the story on, which we didn't read, a lot of you will know what happens. Jesus weeps in grief because his friend has died. He rolls the stone away. He prays to the Father. He calls out Lazarus, and Lazarus rises from the dead, wrapped in grave clothes. It's an amazing story, isn't it? Lazarus has risen from the dead. Make a great movie, a good finish, where the tomb opens and out comes this man wrapped in bandages. But it's not. It's not actually the climax. It's the trailer for the main event. It's like the one that sort of they put on just before to get us all to go to the cinema. They're putting lots of clips in. This is actually teeing up the main event. The main event is Easter Day, when Jesus dies and rises from the dead. And then the reality of "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live even if he dies" comes into full picture. And everybody now understands it. Yes, Lazarus has risen from the dead. But he will die, and did die. Lazarus didn't have eternal life. He just was given a reprise. Whereas actually here, what Jesus is looking forward to and what he's pointing to is something which actually has an eternal effect. That means that we can live forever. In this passage, Jesus asks Martha one simple question. Tim referred to it earlier on. he said to this when we were doing the creed. He said, verse 26, do you believe this? And Martha then says, yes, I believe that you are the Messiah, the Son of God, who has come into the world. She believes. She will have eternal life. That's her response. Don't forget, she hasn't seen Lazarus raised from the dead at this point. As far as she's aware, he's still dead. She doesn't have the advantage of actually having the book and being able to flick through to the last couple of pages and go, oh, it's all going to work out in the end. So actually, for Martha, this was a big statement. Do you believe in her grief and in her pain and in her hurt? And the answer was, yes, I do, and I know who you are. You are the Messiah. You are the Son of God. She showed a step of faith. And it does require faith. So do you believe this? Jesus is saying that to us today. Do you believe that Jesus rose from the dead? That he is the Messiah? That he is here to change your life? And all you have to do is to say, I follow you. If you do, then you can celebrate. You can celebrate the risen Lord in your life. And you can celebrate the fact that from the day that you said yes, you have started on your journey of eternal life. That you are an eternal being. And that you are destined to therefore live with Christ forever. So if you have said yes, this passage gives us complete confidence. It doesn't say, the one who believes in me and has done lots of good things and has led a pretty blameless life and has given lots of money to the church, all of which those things are really good, but it doesn't say that. It says, he who believes in me, even though they die, will live. He's saying, it's about belief in me. It's not about what we do. It's not about how we work. It's not about the hours we spend on our knees, the money we give, the people we tell about Jesus. These things are all important, and these come out of it. But the thing that determines our status, whether we go to heaven to be with Christ, is purely to say, can you call him your Lord and Savior? So if you're somebody who actually really struggles with doubt, where actually the devil gets slightly in your ear and whispers, well, yeah, but he can't mean you. Can't mean you, because we're, you know, look at all those other people. They're good. You're not good. It's a lie. It's a lie. Because Jesus here gives very clear guidance on what life is dependent on. A, it's dependent on him as the resurrection. And secondly, it's dependent on us believing in him. And therefore, we should live every day of our lives in the confidence that we are sons and daughters of Christ and God. Because of Jesus. Not because of what we do, not because of what we've done or what we haven't done. It is purely about that. The converse argument is as well, is what about me if I haven't ever said, Jesus, you're my Lord and my Saviour, and I want to follow you? Well, in logic terms, the opposite therefore surely applies. That if eternal life, if resurrection and eternal life is dependent on belief in Christ, then if we don't believe in Christ and we haven't followed Christ, then it does mean we do not get to share in that eternal life. That's just logic. It's unpalatable, but it's logic. Therefore, what's the solution? It's really simple. Is to actually believe and do exactly what Martha did and said, yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Messiah, you are the Lord, you are the resurrection and the life. And if we do that, we will have life in all its fullness, now and forever. I am the resurrection and the life. How is that going to change you from now on? For those of us who believe, it should give us confidence and passion. For those of us who don't, it should give us a desire to find this Jesus. So I can say, yes, Lord, I believe. I challenge you to come and to find Jesus and be changed, not just now, but forever. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you that Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. Help us to choose life. For those of us who know Jesus, our Lord and Saviour, help us to have confidence. Confidence in our faith in you. Our confidence in the fact that we are yours. And help us to have confidence, therefore, in sharing our faith. And Father, for those of us who don't know you, help us to say, yes, Lord, I believe. Help us to find Jesus for the first time and be changed forever. We ask this in your holy name. Amen.